What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
Oh, and me. That makes two voiceover girls.
Okay, when you have two voiceover girls, separated by one pond and two perspectives.
I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen as Rami and Jessica share their journey into the voiceover industry. Hi, and welcome to the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. I'm Jessica Matheson.
Hi, I'm Rami Santosh. Glad to be here. How are you, Jessica?
I'm good. I'm good. How about yourself?
Yep, I'm good. I think just a little sniffle with the change of season going on. But you know what it's like? Everyone has a little sniffle here and there, or a sneeze, or a little cough.
Yes.
But yeah, just trying to look after myself during this period of season change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my body's not quite sure what to do with itself because I live in Oregon, which is they call the weather in Oregon bipolar.
Oh.
Because, you know, if you want to see different weather, just wait, it'll change in 5 minutes. And like this last week, we went from having really nice 70, 80 degree weather, and we had snow yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Snow.
That's
and
seriously
so my body's
bipolar.
Just like, what are we doing? Yeah. Seasonal allergies, super fun when the weather won't decide what it wants to do.
Oh, dear. Oh, gosh, that sounds worse than us. And, you know, I'm in the UK and we're renowned for having all four seasons in one day. So you're obviously beating us to it then.
So today we're going to talk about a day in the life of a voiceover. So I think it's a question that comes up a lot. I know it's a question I asked a lot and still ask people because I'm just like not quite sure how to structure my day to have the best productivity and the best balance and that sort of thing. I kind of say that I feel like if you were to watch me on a time elapsed type feed, you would probably see that I looked like I was in a pinball game from boing, 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 all over the place doing different things. So I'm always trying to be more efficient. And so that's sort of what we're going to talk about today. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
So when I started, I wasn't sure either. Like you say, when you're working on your own, I came from a work background where my day was structured. I went in at 9, came back home at 5, my lunch break in between. So it's very different to when you're being at home and then you've got 24 hours to, or 12 hours or whatever, to fill up your time with your work and you want to know how to do it best. Interestingly, I was listening to a voiceover artist who narrates books and she just said, I just do my work as a 9-to-5 job. Even though I work from home, it is 9-to-5. She gets up in the morning, does whatever she would do. 9 o'clock, she comes into a booth, records for a few hours, then has her lunch break, and then records for a few more hours in the afternoon, and then switches off and just does whatever she needs to do with her family. And I really liked it. I thought that's a brilliant way to work for me. And so I also think about my work in that way. Morning time, I will get up, have my morning routine, etc. Try and go for a walk, have a little bit of exercise, maybe spend a few minutes meditating or reflecting, just having that quiet moment to focus. And then I aim to start work around 9 o'clock or whatever, approximately that kind of time. And I do plan. I like planning. I like having a diary and a structure. So then I'm not confused and panicking or overwhelmed because there's so much overwhelm in this work as well. Oh, yeah. And we will be discussing overwhelm soon. And so having a structure helps me just to know what I'm going to be doing during the day. And I also like to have all the training webinars and mentoring sessions all planned into my day. So I know exactly how I'm going to work around everything. And then I pick up whatever I want to do. So for me, obviously looking for work and marketing need to be planned into the day as well, ideally. But then sometimes what happens is a little bit of work comes through that I need to do. And sometimes it has to be done urgently. So that becomes the priority for me. And everything else has to then shift around it. So I find that often happens. I'll have a plan and I may start following it and then something else will come up suddenly in terms of work or whatever, or request for a quote, etc. You know, all these things come up and then obviously that becomes a priority. You deal with that and then you could try and get back into your routine. There's a routine, there's a structure, but very flexible depending on the demands of the day. Then sometimes some things will shift to later in the day or maybe even evening, which I try not to. I'd rather just stick to just keeping the work during the day and then doing everything else outside of those hours. But the boundaries are not very strong at the moment.
They are very
thin.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about how other people perceive you working from home. So my daughter actually did this to me one day. It was kind of funny because she needed me to do something to help her. She's, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm working. And she's like, yeah, but you work for yourself. So you can change your schedule to whatever you need it to be. And I was just like, no, that's not how this works. I mean, yes, that's one of the joys of working for yourself is that you can sort of create your own schedule, but you have to be disciplined. And if I go and I let somebody ask me for help and I say, okay, and I do it instead of doing my work, it's just really easy to get out of that disciplined routine of being in your office and your studio from this hour to this hour. Do you find that you have that as well, where people kind of make demands of your time because, oh, well, you work for yourself?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Especially family. They'll think, well, you've been up in your room for hours, your office, you know, for hours. Why don't you come and sit with us and have a chat, or let's go for a coffee or something? And you think, no, I'm actually working. If I was out in the office, you wouldn't have been saying that to me. You wouldn't be calling up and saying, come on, let's have lunch together.
Yes. Yeah.
But because I'm at home now, it seems to be a different ball game. No, it's not.
Yeah. Or there's also some of those people that are thinking that because you work for yourself from home, you must have like an easy job. And this isn't difficult, but there are challenges.
I think it's actually more difficult because you're always looking for work, and that's really hard. Whereas if you're working for somebody else, you know, you've got your income coming through. You just have to get on with the work. So it's very, very different. Whereas here we have no set income, you know, you're looking for that all the time. So it's actually very, very challenging, I think, because there is no predictability. There's no security in that sense. There's no security.
Yeah.
At the end of this month, I will be able to pay my bills. So it's very different and very difficult.
Yeah, definitely. One of the great things about being in business for yourself is that your earning potential is what, limitless, right? Mm-hmm. It's just up to you to make it happen. But that's also kind of the drawback, is it's up to you to make it happen.
Exactly.
And if you don't hustle, you know, you're not gonna see that increased income. You're gonna find, if you don't hustle, you're gonna find out that you're making what you did at your job, or maybe even less.
So absolutely.
The hustle is important, for sure.
So, mm-hmm. So do you have a typical structure, a typical day?
I have. So this is something that I still struggle with this. And like I said before, I feel like I'm constantly like, you know, like a pinball machine, where I feel like there are days where I feel like I'm just, you know, I'm doing so much work and I'm not getting anything accomplished. So I still need to work on it for sure. But in general, yeah, I'm kind of like you in that I tell myself that I'm going to treat this like I would have treated my job where I went out to work somewhere. And I try to be in the office or studio just by 9 o'clock. If I need to be in there earlier, I can, but overall 9 o'clock. And then I don't get done until near 5 o'clock. And what's kind of neat about that 5 o'clock mark is it's a hard mark for me on a couple of days, because I teach some fitness classes at the YMCA. And so I have to leave so that I can get to the YMCA and I can teach my classes. And so that's kind of cool, because I have this hard, like, I must stop at 5 o'clock, or actually I have to stop a little bit earlier than 5 o'clock so that I can get to my class and teach. And then there are other days where I take classes. So that creates some balance for me. And then, within that day, I usually, the voice is not what it needs to be when you first get up in the morning. So that's always a great time for me to do, you know, check my emails, do my marketing emails and that sort of thing, because I don't have to use my voice and I don't have that groggy, raspy sounding voice that I cannot maintain once my voice is warmed up, you know, without hurting my vocal cords. So that's the beginning of my day. And then from there, I kind of look at what auditions have come in and try to do some auditions. And if there's work, then I prioritize the work before the auditions. And then I unless there's maybe a time limit, like where I'm going to hit the time limit for the audition, it needs to be in by noon or something, but my deadline for my work is later. So then I'll make those adjustments. From there, it's just doing some of the other things. I mean, we do the podcast. I have a blog. I mentor some new voiceover people. And so I try to fit that in kind of throughout the day. It's definitely a balancing act. You know, I want to be able to do those extra things because I feel like they enrich the career, but they can also be a time suck if you're not careful.
Definitely. Well, that was really interesting. So I think really fascinating to find out how other people structure their time, whether they do, whether they just like to play it by ear and just have no structure at all. So it'd be great to speak to some other voiceover artists who are establishing themselves, and we'll be doing that next time.
Yes, absolutely. All right. If you like our podcast, make sure to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. And also, we have a Facebook group. So if you want to join our Facebook group and be part of the discussions that happen in there, you can go to facebook.com/groups/voiceovergirls across the pond. So until next time, bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us for the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Rami, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.